We continue with our study of God's names for a time, and today we will study the name Adonai. We're going to look at Adonai. So when you see the word Lord in the scripture that we read today, when you see capital L, but then you see lowercase O-R-D, that is the Hebrew word Adonai. The way you'll know it is different is when you see God, capital G-O-D, that is Yahweh. And many times Yahweh is translated capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and we'll study that this evening. So just to recognize, both of those names are there, but we'll be studying the word Lord, lowercase O-R-D, Adonai. And we're going to just be looking at verses 1 through 8 of chapter 15, and we're not going to be looking at a great deal of the details. We've been here before through our sermon through Genesis. What we're going to be paying attention to is the way that Abraham responds to God, the way that he addresses God by use of the word Lord or Adonai, and we're going to think about the meaning of that name and think about how we should follow Abraham's example in approaching God as Adonai. Hear now the word of God, verses 1 through 8 of Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So again, what we look at is in verses 2 and 8, how Abraham approaches God. He does use the word Yahweh, but before that, he prefaces it with the word Lord. Again, we're studying the names of God for a time. Last week, we studied Elyon, which is most high, and we studied Shaddai, which is almighty. It's important to study God's names. It's important to know God by his names. Jeremiah 23, verse 27, teaches us that when we begin to forget God's names and we don't know him by his names, we start to listen to the silly dreams of men. And we turn and worship the false god, Baal. So there's a real importance for us to know God by his names, that we would remember him and not be misled and stray from him to worship false gods. May we study his name today, and may it be meaningful to us. Names in the Bible have meaning. You know that. When we see names given to children, they have meaning, like the word Isaac means laughter, and that reflects the laughter of his mother. So these names always in the scriptures have meaning. Sometimes they don't have a good meaning. Sometimes a child's name says something bad about them, such as Nabal being a fool, or sometimes it can say something bad about the relation of the church with God, such as the name Not My People. So the names mean something very often in who the person is and how they are relating to God. They're communicating something about the person or the people, but also particularly in terms of how God is relating to them. You can think about, and you might imagine, we'll probably spend some time studying some of the names of Christ, some of them given to us in Isaiah. God also reveals his names, his own names, for a reason and for a relation. God might just go by God. He may just stay with a generic one word. But actually, God has revealed himself to us in many different names for a reason, to say something about himself, in particular in terms of how he relates to the world, but even more particular in how he relates to his covenant people, to his redeemed people. One resource says that in the Old Testament, a name was not only an identification, but it was an identity. So a name was an identification indeed. It identified the person, that is the what, who, kind of what they are, but more important, it was their identity, who they are. The meaning of the name says what they are and who they are. Today, God will have you know more about what he is like, but especially who he is in terms of how you are to relate to him. He will have you know him by his name in the Hebrew, Adonai. Adonai. And he will have you respond to him, Adonai, meaningfully by its meaning. It's a great thing to do is to know God's names, to pray to him by his names. Adonai is the way God's people often address him in the scriptures, to show respectful service and to show respectful dependence. You see Abraham expressing dependence upon God, recognizing he relies on God, that he needs God. He's waiting on God, and he addresses him as Adonai, Lord. The Hebrew word Adonai, we usually see translated Lord, again, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. But it has the idea of ruler. You know, we can tend to start to use the word Lord, even in our prayers, rather generically, and we don't think about what it really means, and we want to think about what it means when we say, Dear Lord. Lord means ruler. Lord means judge. Lord means master. That's what it means. So God is saying, call me Lord, that is, call me and approach me as your master. The word Lord connotes authority as a king, and the word Lord commands attention to that king, reverent, respectful attention. Jesus saved you, indeed, but Jesus saved you to serve him. When you see in the Revelation those around the throne worshiping God and the Lamb, they are there to offer the service of worship. They're not just there to walk around and play golf. They're there to serve God. He is saving people to serve him. Again, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him. Jesus is the King of Kings, the scriptures teach. And he redeemed you into his kingdom. He brought in the kingdom of heaven into this world. It's advancing through this world, and he's showing his lordship as he conquers hearts, including yours, and brings you to bow your knee and confess with your tongue that he is your Lord. It's a kingdom he's brought you into. You are his subjects, and he demands and he desires respect. The message for you is respect your Redeemer. He is Adonai. He is Lord. Respect your Redeemer. And here's what the respect can look like. Esther approached her husband, the king. The way she approached him was how? She did not presume upon him as the king. She did not just approach him as husband, but as king. She bowed before him, knowing that if she was not summoned, she didn't even have any right to come before him. And she bowed low and asked, and was waiting for mercy. So he extended his scepter and offered mercy. And because she approached him that way, it was much different for her than the earlier wife, Vashti. Vashti was banished from the kingdom because when her husband and king called upon her, she didn't want to come. So he got rid of her. Esther approaches him differently. And so instead of being banished from the kingdom, she rules over the kingdom with her husband. She's treated like a queen because she knows how to act like one, which is to treat her husband and the king as her lord. So we see with Abraham, he knows how to address and approach God as his king. And so his seed will inherit the earth and rule with Jesus Christ. He addresses God as Adonai Yahweh. That is, he says, Lord God. God is Yahweh. That's why you see all the letters capitalized in the text. Lord is lowercase other than the L because it is Adonai. You see that in verse 2 and 8. Both times when he approaches God, you see that he starts first with the word Lord. He starts by saying, Master. Master. And I wonder if that's something that you and I can really relate to and fully appreciate and understand. We, frankly, thankfully, live in a nation and live in a modern world where we don't tend to think of anyone as our master. And maybe, though, we have a little bit of a problem with the idea of bowing to our master. I think I've shared before, R.C. Sproul shared once about another pastor in Pittsburgh. We live just down the road from him and his church. And the pastor was from England. He was an evangelist. And when he came to America and he was looking through a used store of relics of America, he said, it is going to be very different to spread Christianity here in America. Because so many of their slogans, so much of their history is the idea of, don't rule over me. I don't want a king. This idea of having a master that we submit to and rule and let rule us is a bit of a foreign concept for us, I think we could all agree. But it shouldn't be as we approach Jesus Christ as master, as we approach God. We need to call him master, ruler, and try to appreciate what that means. Abraham approaches God as a servant, not an equal. A servant making a request of his master for a sign that God will yet still bless him. He's waiting for his son. He knows he depends on God for this son. He wants this son. He's having a hard time believing, but he beseeches. He's expressing dependence upon God. He's expressing deference to God. He's deferring to God. Please, Lord, when will you do this? Will you show me a sign? But he's not making a demand. He's making an appeal. This is a very important way you approach your Lord. You don't make demands, you make appeals. You don't come but humbly before him. The Hebrew word where we get the word Adonai, Lord, is Adon, and it means to rule over. So the Hebrew word, the root of Adonai is Adon, it means to rule over. God is to rule over us. He is to be served. He is the king, and we are not. So Abraham acknowledges God's rule over him with absolute authority as the sovereign one who is in charge. Beloved, we need to follow his example because we think we're in charge. Evidenced by how we live, evidenced by how we worship, evidenced by how we approach. We think we are in charge, and we think God exists to serve us. That is the way God is presented in much of Christianity today, that God exists to serve us. And it is absolutely upside down and backwards. God does not exist to serve you. He is Adonai. You are not. He is in charge. You are not. Similarly, Ruth says to Boaz, she gives us another example of using the word Adonai. In chapter 2, verse 13, Ruth says to Boaz, hoping that he will be her husband, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. He is the boss. He's the one that has the resources, and he is, notice, the kinsman redeemer. He's the one that is almost next in line to be the kinsman redeemer, to save her from being on her own, to save the bloodline. And remember, it's through Boaz and Ruth that we have our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the kinsman redeemer. And notice, she approaches the kinsman redeemer with respect. She doesn't presume upon him. She doesn't come to him as his equal. She approaches him and says, Lord, that is the word Adonai. Lord or master. She approaches him, essentially proposing, calling him Lord, Adonai, master, recognizing he would be ruling as he already is ruling as her boss. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. That's Greek, but it's the same essential word, Lord. See, husband is another illustration of understanding how we are to approach Jesus Christ. Jesus is the church's husband. Ephesians 5 tells the husband how to treat the church and the church how to treat Christ, the husband, as Lord. Jesus is our Lord. He is our husband. We are to seek his favor. We are to be seeking his favor. It should be sought for, not fought for. The master has God-given authority. He cannot be forced. And he must not be displeased. You do not want to fall out of favor with your master, with your Lord. And the way that you can is by approaching him as if he's not Lord. Jesus is very strict with the churches in Revelation because they're not treating him as Lord. Often in the Old Testament, the word Lord is used to address a king. You'll see that constantly, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and Chronicles. You'll see the kings addressed as Lord. So Jesus is very often addressed as Lord and Master. In John 13, verse 13, he says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." What are you to believe about God? This is something my professor would teach me to be thinking about for putting sermons together related to the catechism. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of men. So what are you to believe about God today as you learn about the name Adonai, that he and he alone is master? He and he alone is ruler. He and he alone is husband. He and he alone is judge. He and he alone is Lord. And let us remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns, "Some of you have said to me, Lord, Lord, but I say to you, go away, because I never knew you. Because you didn't do what I commanded." So we need to recognize that calling Jesus Lord, but not living and approaching him as Lord, is to use his name in vain. You are to believe that he is master. Therefore, what are you to do about the name Adonai? Obey him in humble submission. Reverence him. Respect him. Defer to his right to rule over you by his rules. Pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As again we saw Mary said in the text in Luke we saw in the video today. Pray, for thine is the kingdom, and mine is not the kingdom. You are king, Lord Jesus, and I am not. For ye have a master in heaven. One is your master, even Christ. Colossians 4, verse 1, Matthew 23, verse 10. So, beloved, beseech a blessing of your master, and don't consider him beneath you. The disciple, he says, is not above his master. Luke 6, verse 40. Learn to accept and learn to remember that you are not master. You are not your master. And when you are called upon by your pastors, by your elders, by your husbands and fathers to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and approach him appropriately, they are simply calling upon you to recognize and acknowledge publicly the Lord Jesus Christ is master. Jesus is your master. And he will have you serve him faithfully. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Mark 13, verses 35 to 37. If Jesus was to come back right now, if Jesus was to come back right before the service, how would he find you? Would he find you saying and expressing, Master, Lord? Would he find you ready and attentive to serve him in worship, in life? When you pray, address him, Lord Jesus. Pray, my master. Use the name Adonai in your English words to remind you who he is and in relation who you are. Approach him as Abraham, Lord God. But make sure you are not faking it. Don't use his name in vain. One way to be faking it is to be sleeping during the sermon, as a number of you are. Make sure you're not faking calling Jesus Lord. Many approached Jesus with Lord, Lord. Many approached Jesus, Master, Master, on their lips, but their hearts were seeking to kill him while they used those words, as Judas did with his lips. He came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. In Matthew 26, but as you know, it was a murderous betrayal in that word and in those kisses. So the better way to approach Jesus as Lord is like Joshua in Joshua chapter 5, when he encounters the angel of the Lord, who is the pre-incarnate Jesus, standing there with a sword, representing the armies of the Lord and commanding them. Verse 14, Joshua bows down before Jesus. Joshua worships Jesus. Joshua asks, for are you with us? He's concerned that Jesus would be with him and not against him. And then he says, what saith my Lord Adonai? He says, bowed down, worshiping prostrate before Jesus Christ. He says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And beloved, this is how you should be living your life. This is how you should be coming to church. This is how and when you should be approaching worship. This is how you should go out and live your lives and raise your children. This is how you should act in family worship. This is how you should choose everything you do and who you are. What saith my Lord unto his servant? May your and my life be approaching God this way. Lord God, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And if you won't, then he is not your master. And he is not your Lord. But this is how to approach Jesus in worship. This is how to approach Jesus in prayer and life as your Savior, who is your Master, your Lord, the Lord of Lords, your Adonai, who demands your attention and respect. Respect your Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us because we really see you as our servant, not our Lord. And we do not approach you as our Lord, but as our servant who tends upon us when we should be tending upon you. Oh Lord, we cry out and ask for you to quickly come and attend to us, but how lazy we are in approaching you. May we bow our knees in new ways today. And may we confess with our tongue, more deeply in our hearts, that we would not be simply giving you Judas kisses. May we worship you as Lord, Adonai, Master, ruler of our hearts and our bodies and our lives. And if we cannot do that here, we will not do it elsewhere. Be thou lifted up and magnified before our eyes. Glorify thy name, Adonai. Rule over us, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty. You alone are Lord. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And when you come again, no one will be late for your arrival, and everyone will bow the knee and confess with the tongue that Jesus is Lord. And we will all be waiting with bated breath. We will all be paying attention to your every word in action as you separate the sheep from the goats and you command some to go to hell and others to go to heaven. May we be among the sheep, O Lord, that are quick to hear and know your voice and be brought into your heavenly kingdom, because we have seen the same to be true of us here. O Lord, protect us all that we do not say, Lord, Lord, but on the last great day, you say to us, go away, I never knew you, because you did not serve me truly as Lord. O Lord, have mercy on each one of us, and lift up our hearts and tongues to praise you. It is a matter of life and death who our Master is. May our Master not be ourselves. May our Master not be this world or anything in it. May our Master not be Satan. May our Master, may our ruler, may our Lord and King truly be the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.